Thank God, Brother Chris. Thank God. God's been good to us that way. God's been good to us. You can't build a church on singing, but you ain't going to build much of one without good singing. Amen. You got to have some of it. Amen. I've been some places. Thursday night, I went down to... Lord, don't record this now. But I went down Thursday and preached and had to preach behind Patch the Pirate. Little youngins up singing Patch the Pirate. I just soon hung myself. Amen. And the Joneses rode down Friday and they got to sing before I got up. And I was thanking God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a time for all that, but right before you getting ready to put a man up and preach, ain't time to put... Amen. Well, I better quit right there. Amen. I do echo what Brother Chris said. Thank God for good music that honors God, makes much of Jesus, and you can understand what's being sung. Amen. If you got old hillbilly ear, you can understand what we're singing about. Amen. Thank God for good singing. Joshua chapter 11 this evening. Joshua chapter 11. Boy, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. It's getting right good here this evening. We got a few visitors with us. Good to see Dolores' daughter back in the house of the Lord with us tonight. We're glad. I like it when they show up one time, but I'm double honored when they come back. And amen, I don't get very much of that. I like it when they show up first time, but when they show up the second time and the third time, we're real grateful for that. And then is it Justin and Megan? Did I get that right? We're so glad y'all are here tonight. Thank you for being here to worship with us. And we believe now, I'm speaking to everybody, if you'll pay attention, I think God's got a word for you. I ain't got much voice left. I'm going to give it all I got, Brother A.L., for as long as I can. Now, that might be 7 hours, but it might be 7 minutes, okay? But I'm going to give it all I got and give you my heart this evening. I'm so thankful for what God is doing at the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. He don't owe it to us. We're not worthy of anything He's done. But the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus has been falling upon our church. And I'm thankful for it. I'm pastoring. And I hope you don't take this wrong. I don't mean it any way negative about the past at all. But the 6 or 7 months I've been your pastor, I'm pastoring a different church tonight than what I took in late October of last year. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. But I want to preach to you this evening and try to deal with some things. I don't want it to die. In fact, I'm praying and I'm going to preach and beg God and beg you just to let God keep having His way. And I don't want to get in the way. And I don't want you getting in the way. In fact, and I'm not trying to be a bully preacher, if you get in the way, we're going to run you over. Okay? I don't want us to be in the way. We want God to have liberty to continue to move and to continue to work. And I want to preach maybe along that line this evening and stir your heart if the Lord will help us. Stand with me. Joshua 11. Joshua chapter 11, I'll for sake of time, I'll just read the closing 3 verses. Verse 21, the Bible said, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims out of the mountains from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war." Let's pray together. Father, we sure do again need your help. We need you, Lord, to speak to hearts. We need you, Father, this evening to give us clarity in our thoughts and the burden of our heart. May it be communicated to your people tonight. And Father, I pray the Word of God would have an effectual, ongoing work, Lord, more than just for the next few moments, but God, in days and weeks and months to come. May, Lord, the Word of God that is sown into our hearts and the truth that is put there, Lord, still be bearing fruit, Lord, in days to come, and we'll bless you for it. Thank you again, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we've sung about it. We've testified about it. And Lord, now we just want to say in prayer, thank you for being so good to us. Lord, thank you for being good to our church. Thank you for being good to my family. Thank you for being good to me. God, I'm so grateful tonight that you'd be mindful of us. Thank you for being here tonight. Help us tonight is our simple plea and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. As we come to Joshua chapter number 11, amen, if you'll study out the book of Joshua leading into this chapter, what you'll find is the book of Joshua thus far has concerned itself with Israel crossing over the Jordan River and coming in and taking the land of promise in Canaan. God had promised it to Abraham their father, and God had raised up Moses to bring them out of bondage and was there, if you will, their Savior out of that land of bondage. They've now been in the wilderness for 40 years, and God has graciously led them into the land of Canaan. Amen. After all this time, they're finally going to inhabit what God said that they could have. When you begin to study what God said as Israel came out of Egypt, and God began to communicate to them about going into the land, in Exodus 34, you can read verses 10 down through 17. Here is, in a nutshell, what the Lord said. He said, when you get into the land of Canaan and you go in there, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to win victories for you. And your responsibility is going to be that you're to wipe out and destroy all the inhabitants in the land of Canaan. He said, you burn their homes, you burn their cities, you destroy them, don't let them live. And God, my friend, explains why. He goes in them verses, and Brother A.L., he said, I want you to do this, because I don't want them raising up and becoming a snare to you and down the road. I don't want you to leave them there, because if you do, their sons are going to marry your daughters, and your daughters are going to marry their sons, and it's just going to be a thorn in your side if you don't wipe them out and deal with them and destroy them utterly. And so, my friend, now Joshua and Israel comes in, and the opening chapters of the book of Joshua, you'll find that they're warring and they're battling. And my friend, they're burning down cities. They're burning down homes. My friend, there's great victories that are won in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 11, you'll find that it recounts some specific victories that Joshua had won as they entered Canaan. And let me say this tonight. Canaan land is a type and a picture of victorious Christian living. I believe tonight it's the will of God for every saved man, woman, boy, and girl, and family, and church. And my friend, they live the victorious way. God doesn't want us living in defeat. God don't want us living snared up. God don't want us, my friend, living in discouragement. It's the will of God, but Gerald, that we live in an attitude and a spirit and an atmosphere of victory. I'm preaching to a generation, my generation of Christianity is very defeated and very discouraged. And my friend, they're always down in the mouth and their head's always down. And woe is me. Can I remind you tonight that God saved you tonight and we might have some victory. And so put a smile on your face. He never promised that we wouldn't have battles and that we wouldn't have troubles and that we wouldn't face things. But thank God that He has provided a source of victory through every battle and a source of victory for every trouble. And my friend, the book of Joshua and Israel going into Canaan is a type and a picture, and friend, of the victory that is available to you and I in the Christian life. And Joshua 11, as I've said, it records some of the specific victories that Joshua won. And my friend, he goes into detail. I've not got the time this evening to do all of this and to deal with all of this tonight as they come in. I mean, you talk about a spirit of revival and victory at his own God's children. It seems like, Brother Hinn, everything that they come up against, they defeat it. Every city that stands in their way, they're bringing it down. It seems like, at my friend, everything they set themselves against, it falls and crumbles at their feet, and God is giving them victory. I liken it this evening, amen, to a church going through a spirit of revival. I liken it tonight to God's children winning victories over sin and over temptation and over the world, and winning great victories in their life as God, my friend, is working through them and working through you and I this evening. Now, let me say this tonight, that your life in recent weeks and months in what God is doing ought to be wrapped up in some victories. What God is doing in our church, my friend, comes when victories. And I've watched folk win victories. I get text messages from people nearly every week about victories they're winning and how they're getting back to God and getting back to living right. And my friend, I bless the name of the Lord for that. In fact, can I show it to you this way this evening in the verses we've read tonight? The Bible said in verse number 21, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims." Stop there for a moment and let me say a word about the Anakims. The Anakims, my friend, are the enemies of God. Literally, if you'll do a word study on the name Anakim, Anak and the Anakims, you'll find that their name literally means to strangle or to choke. The Anakims, my friend, represent that which wants to choke what God wants you to have. They want to strangle the victory out of your life. They want to stop the work of God. They want to stop the victory that God gives you and that in the times of battle in inhabiting Canaan's land. And so the Anakims are choking and attempting to strangle what God is doing. And watch this tonight. Notice what the Bible said about Joshua and the nation of Israel. The Bible said they cut off the Anakims from the mountains, the high places, of the important places, of big places, the large places. And notice where they began to win victory. The Bible said that my friend, they did it from Hebron. Now Hebron tonight, I believe, deals with our partnerships. If you study the word Hebron, it deals with fellowship. In fact, the name Hebron means seat of association or a society, or it literally deals with a spell that is cast upon what? And bringing them into friendship with another. Amen. Listen, Joshua and Israel came, and my friend, they began to beat back Hebron, and they won that victory over partnerships and fellowship in their land. And I remind you tonight, the New Testament says, from the New Testament child of God, that we're to come out from among the world and be separate. My friend, we're to live lives separated from the world. Amen. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. And there ought to be some victory won over partnerships, my friend, in your life. I ain't running with just anybody. Amen. Young people need to understand that it's wicked and it's anti-Bible. Amen. For a saved boy today to be interested in a lost girl, it is unbiblical and anti-Bible. Amen. For a saved young lady to be interested in a lost young man. Why? Because the Bible says, my friend, to come out and be separated in our relationship. That doesn't mean we can't be friendly. That doesn't mean we're to be rude and arrogant and holier than thou. Oh, my friend, we are to be friendly. We are to be kind and considerate and compassionate. Oh, my friend, there's a difference in that and linking arms with the world and with wicked people. Oh, my friend, that'll bring us down in the faith. That's what Psalm 1:1 is teaching. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. My friend, we're to be separated and win victories over our partnerships. Then he said they not only whooped Hebron and got victory over their partnership, but the Bible said that they went down to Debir. And in Debir, my friend, there I believe it speaks of our prayers or our prayer life. A word, the name, the title, Debir, this place, it literally means the oracle or the innermost part of the sanctuary. It's where you would go to speak to your God. It's where you would go to kneel down and communicate with Him. And my friend, Joshua and Israel going and climbing the mountain and winning Debir testifies of a victory in one's prayer life. Amen. Listen, you know if you're saved tonight, you ought to be praying. In fact, the New Testament said, and the disciples came to the Lord and said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said this. He said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. He said, when you pray, say. And my friend, your life, your Christian life, will never be any greater than your prayer life. Amen. Can I say you ought to win some victories and learn what it is to go down on bended knee and call on the name of the Lord God of glory. Amen. And know that He's heard you. Amen. Some men folk in the choir was able to sing it. Amen. That God answers prayer and raise their hands. You know what? Oh, they've seen some victories in their prayer life. They've seen when they can go to God about a sick youngin and God come through. They've seen when they can bow down and pray. Amen. When they didn't have the way, they ask God to pay the bills and see God come through. They've been able, my friend, to walk and kneel and sit in the presence of God with a great prayer life of victory. Hebron and Debir. Notice Anab. The Bible said they went from Hebron to Debir and then to Anab. Anab, my friend, deals with our productivity in the Christian life. It literally means fruitfulness or to bear fruit. And my friend, them going and taking Anab and winning that victory, my friend testifies in the victory, amen, of walking with God and abiding in Christ, and my friend, bringing forth much fruit. And I say, if you're saying tonight, amen, you ought to be bearing fruit. Amen, you may not bear as much as the one sitting across the aisle or the church from you. My friend, those that abide in Christ and are saved tonight ought to be bearing fruit, have a fruitful Christian life. You ought to learn how to win that victory. How fruitful are you tonight? Now, I'm going to get where I'm going in a minute. Y'all hang with me. Amen. When God begins to move and God begins to send revival and victory, it ought to come. Our friend, with the victories in the matter of productivity, there's folk been saved. And my friend, they ain't produced any more fruit than they did 10 years ago. You ain't right with God. Amen. If you're saved and right with God, there ought to be victories, my friend, being won. Amen. Where your life is producing more Christ-likeness and more love and more grace and more mercy and more separation and more godliness and more righteousness and more holiness and more holiness and more holiness. Can I get a witness tonight? You ought to be growing and being fruitful in the things of God. You ought to know more Bible than you did 10 years ago. You ought to know more about the things of God tonight than you did 5 years ago. There comes a time, and I don't know where it begins. I suppose maybe it's different for all of us if we're not careful. When folk have been saved a certain amount of time, they begin to sit down and they think they've got it all nailed down and think they don't need it anymore. And what happens is they begin to lose victories in a matter of being productive in the cause of Christ. Amen. Our partnerships, our prayers, our productivity. Notice where they went after Hebron and Debir and Anab. The Bible said, and they went down to Judah. Judah means celebrated. It deals with giving worship and praise to God. It literally means to worship or revere with an extended hand, and it deals with our praise. And I say tonight, we ought to win a victory in that. Amen. The devil and the world and the enemy, my friend, wants to do all they can. My friend, yes, to choke partnership, and yes, to choke out and strangle, my friend, our productivity and our prayer life. The devil tonight and the flesh rest tonight, and the world tonight, my friend, wants to steal our joy. They want to take the celebration out of our heart. Amen. But thank God, when God goes moving, and God begins to send revival, and God begins to send victory, it'll come when victory in the matter of praise. You'll go from quit, amen, you'll go from caring what everybody else thinks about you raising your hand to saying the only thing that matters is what God thinks. You'll get your shout back. You'll get a, amen, you'll get a bounce in your step. Amen, you'll get a skip in your step. Amen, you'll go from dragging in the house of God, amen, to nearly running in the house of God. Amen, when God sends a victory in the matter of praise. It's the will of God if you're saved to praise Him. Let, amen, somebody say, well, I don't like women praising in the house of God. Well, you don't know your Bible. The Bible said, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Amen. If there's women in here breathing, they're to praise God. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a woman raising her hand and giving a testimony. I know what the New Testament said. Let a woman keep silence in the house of God. That's dealing with the matter of teaching and the business of the church. Amen. They ought to keep quiet and shut up there. My friend, when it comes to praising God, amen, listen, at everything that had breath, praise the Lord. Amen. I'd hate to know that the devil put his whole hands around my, amen, around my throat and choked out, amen, that praise that belongs to God. Amen. When God goes moving, you'll get your shout back. You go from sitting around crossing your arms and milking your chin and looking at everything you don't like, a mad friend giving him the praise he deserves. Son, I'm feeling like preaching now. He is worthy tonight. And Joshua and Israel walked in that day and they said, we're taking that place and we're not going to let them choke out our praise. They're not going to strangle us. They're not going to pull it out of us. And they went and seen a victory in the matter of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good right there. Brother A.L., to know that God wants you and I to live in that realm of victory where we, my friend, don't have to be pumped up, primed up. Amen. Amen. God called me to be a pastor, not a pep rally man. Amen. I have felt in years gone by that, my friend, all I do, but Gerald, stand up for a minute. Amen. People come up. Amen. You remember them old toys that had the key on the back and you'd wind them up and you'd wind them up. Amen. And then they'd go through. Amen. Like this right here. Amen. And then the longer that thing went, it just kind of slowed down and stopped. And you'd have to run over there and turn it again. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gerald. That's how I feel some days. Amen. They come in and you got to wind them up and wind them up and wind them up. Amen. It takes 30 minutes to get them wound up. Amen. And then all of a sudden, and woo! Woo! Hallelujah! And then, my friend, before Wednesday night, here they come again and they're stopped. You got to wind them all back up again. You ever get the place you live in the realm of Cain and God will give you victory. You won't have to have a pastor winding you up. Amen. You'll get up on the pew, praise God. Amen. You'll lift your hands in adoration and worship and praise to the God that saved you and brought you out of bondage and took care of you in this wilderness land and would be gracious enough to let you have a little bit of Canaan land in these days. They went, my friend, and they won a victory on the mountain of Judah. And then the Bible said, where'd they go? Fifth place they went and cut off the Anakims was in the place of Israel. The word Israel, you know this, and God named Jacob, the old deceiver, the old cunning one, the trickster. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel, meaning that as a prince he would have what? Power with God. The name Israel literally means he will rule as God. It means to prevail. It implies a measure of strength. And so my friend Joshua and Israel, amen, they go to the Anakims in Israel, and it shows a victory in the matter of our power. They had, amen, victory there that day. It came with power and strength and the touch of God, amen, and God being on them. And I say, my friend, God, and God desires and designs when he goes move it, when the church begins to leave the wilderness and leave the place, my friend, amen, and leave that place that represents heartache and sorrow and begins to cross over and live in Canaan. Listen, it's the will of God that we find something about the power of God. It ain't the will of God we live an old defeated life. A powerless life, a life, my friend, where, amen, the touch of God is not real, where the touch of God is fading and fainting. Amen, listen, we ought to know something about, amen, the power and the touch of Almighty God. Amen, well, the problem is we got too many Jacobs in our pew and not enough Israels. We got too many tricksters, too many people that come in and they ain't know how to walk the dog and trot the pony. And put on a good show and a good presentation, but they've got no power of God. They went, and my friend, the Bible said they took Israel. And with that, God let them enter in the realm, not only of right partnerships and right prayers and right productivity, right kind of praise, but a right kind of power upon them. Notice what the Bible said in the end of verse 21. The Bible said, and he utterly destroyed their cities. Now look up in here. This is what that means. That means he didn't leave anything standing. That means when Joshua, my friend, when God led them and brought them in Canaan land to a matter they needed to deal with, they utterly dealt with it. They didn't leave anything standing. Brother Dean, they didn't leave any matter of partnership, any matter of their prayer life undone. Amen. In everything, when it came to those five specific places, they won an absolute victory. And I say that's what you ought to do. When Brother Mark, God leads us to deal with something, God leads us in as we're entering into Canaan land, we ought not leave anything not utterly dealt with. It means they burned it down. That means the men and the women and the children. That means if they had cows and camels and sheep, if they had puppy dogs and kitty cats, Joshua took care of every little matter in them five places. Notice how this chapter ends, verse 23. And the land rested from war. Boy, I mean, everybody's shouting the victory. Everybody, my friend, there's no war, there's no bloodshed, there's no fighting anymore. They're in the land, my friend, of victory, and they have won five key victories here. In just one verse, they've gone in, and but John, they're living, and the Bible said that when they settled down and they looked around, they said, no more war. But listen to me, you know the rest of the history of the nation of Israel. It may not have been no war going on in the end of chapter 11, but the rest of their history as we know it in the King James Bible is filled with war after war after war after battle after defeat after. Are y'all in the building tonight? It may have rested from war, but it was only a small rest. Why? God said when you go in, destroy everything. Watch this. Notice our verse, our text verse in verse 22. I'll probably just give you my thought and close tonight. The Bible said after they had been to Hebron, to Bur, and of Judah and Israel and utterly destroyed them cities, what did the Bible say? Only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod there remained. I'm interested, Sister Betty, in that word only. Only Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod they remain. Listen, God said when you go in, you destroy them, great and small, mighty and weak. Amen. Don't let any of them live. And now Joshua and Caleb and Israel has gone in. They've won these victories. They're shouting. They're praying. They're in right fellowship. They know something of the power and the touch of God. I mean, everything they come up against, they're winning victories. And they get to the place in the middle of all the victory. There's three little places. And I think, Brother Hinn, the word only implies the attitude Joshua and Israel had. Watch this. They've come off the mountain of Hebron, Debir, and of Judah and Israel. And somebody said, hey, what about Gaza over there? What about Gath down the road? What about Ashdod over here? Joshua, what are we going to do? And it's as if they're saying, Sissy, it's only Gaza. We done got victory at Hebron. We've got victory in these mountainous places. Hey, it's only Gath. It's only Ashdod. It's only little places. They don't really mean anything. We've got victory here and we've got victory there and we've won this and we've utterly destroyed that and we've got this nailed down. That's only a small thing. And yet when you study the rest of the history of the nation of Israel, do you know where the rest of their battles came from? They spring up out of places called Gaza. They spring up out of small things called Gath. They arise and corrupt the nation of Israel out of a little place called Ashdod. Amen. Do you remember? Let me give it to you this way, and maybe as we come back from vacation in days and weeks to come, maybe if the Lord will let me, I'll just kind of hone in on this. Let me throw it out to you today. I'm preaching on this thought. Little things left undone. Little things left undone. Preacher, I'm shouting the victory. I'm getting my joy back. I'm getting my praise back. I'm growing in the Lord, man. I'm cutting some things out of my leg. I'm getting rid of these things that choke me. Preacher, you want me to deal with even the little things? Little things left undone result, friend, in battles, big battles, and defeats down the road. It ain't the big things we as independent fundamental Baptists oftentimes fall to. In the book of Song of Solomon, Matthew, what did the beloved say? He said, it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes. It's not the bears. It's not the tigers. It's not the lions. And friend, it's the little foxes that creep in and slowly nip away and eat at and paw at and claw at. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. What did the Apostle Paul say to the church at Corinth? He said, know you not that a little leaven, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It doesn't take a lot of it. And leaven, a type of sin, a type of rebellion, a type of walking away from God. He said it's a little leaven that destroys the whole thing. My friend, it's them little areas that God has brought you to and said, destroy it. Kill it. Burn it down. Get rid of it. If you're not careful, you'll fall into the attitude of Joshua and Israel. And we know tonight Joshua and Israel in this passage of Scripture in the book of Joshua far greater than we could ever probably imagine to be. My friend, if they could fall prey to the attitude, well, it's only a little thing. It's only, preacher, you're being just too radical. You mean you want me to deal? I've dealt with the big things. I'm growing and I'm praising God. I've got a measure of the power and the touch of God on my life. God is saying, beware of not dealing with the little things. It's that little root of bitterness you got in your heart that you refuse to forgive somebody over. It's that little wound and little hurt that you've had from the past that, my friend, is still there and open and bleeding and wounded that you refuse to give any attention to. It's the little matter of division that's in your heart between, amen, you and your church or you and your family or whatever the area may be. It's the little things. I'm trying to drive the point home tonight. It's the little things. You can win every great victory tonight you want to win. But God said that Joshua and Israel, they left some things undone. Can I give you three real quick tonight? I may come back and just preach whole messages on them. I don't know. But watch this tonight. Number one, where's the first little thing left undone? Only in where? Gaza. You remember there's a mighty man, a judge in Israel by the name of Samson. Where did Samson go? Where did Samson wind up? Where was his life literally taken? Bible said he fell in love with Delilah, and my friend, you know the story there of how, amen, he was robbed of the power of God in his life. Amen, that power that Joshua had once won a great victory over, they said, hey, we need to go deal with Gaza. And Joshua said, it's only Gaza, leave it alone. Now this mighty man of strength and great judge over Israel and Judah, my friend, he falls in love with a woman he should have never been falling in love with. And my friend, he's deceived and begins to play around and toy around, amen, with a relationship he had no business playing around with. And you know the story, the Philistines come in, I ain't got time to deal with all of it. Brother Martin, they lay hold on him, that man that wist not that the power of God had departed off of him. They laid hold on him, they bound him, and for the first time that mighty man knew something about defeat. Where did they take him? They didn't take him to Hebron. They didn't take him to Debir. They didn't, Brother Gerald, they didn't take him to Anna and Lucas. They didn't take him to Judah. They didn't take him to Israel. They took him down to a little place called Gaza. And they put him on the old grinding stone. This once mighty warrior and soldier of God, all day long, all he did was walk around in circles doing women's work in a little place left undone called Gaza. Eyeballs plucked out. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying little things left undone. You know what it'll do? It will affect your perception. You'll lose your spiritual eye letting little things go undone. I've watched people, and I've been around church my whole life. I've watched people win great victories and watch them get saved, Brother Jerry, and begin to grow, and they'll give up dressing certain ways and listening to certain music, and they'll give up these mighty, I mean, just winning great victories. They quit running the honky tonks and dance halls. They're growing and they're striving and they're giving up things, throwing things in the fire, and I mean just sold out, dedicated, on fire for God. And then it comes time to deal with a little thing and they let it go. And down the road it affects their perception and the very things at one time they used to see something wrong with. Now all of a sudden they don't see anything wrong with it. Now all of a sudden God passes through the church and everybody else sees Him, but they can't see Him. They, my friend, at one time was aware and perceptive of the goodness of God in their life. And now, my friend, because they left a little thing undone in their life, their spiritual eye has been taken out. Gaza affects your perception. Number two, only in Gaza and in Gath. You remember the story, it's a well-known story, one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible. Only a little boy named David, only a babbling brook, only a boy named David, one little stone he took, the story of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, the armies of the Philistines and the armies of Israel are gathered together in the valley of Elah. Amen, Israel's on one side, the Philistines are on another side. There was a time that Saul, my friend, would have went out and whooped anybody. Israel would have taken anybody on. They didn't care what the fight was. But years ago, Joshua and Israel left a little thing undone. And they said, it's only Gath. Now in 1 Samuel 17, out from the camp of the Philistines walks a man. That man, friend, is 7 foot tall. Where's he from? The Bible said he was Goliath of Gath. The little things you leave left undone will eventually produce giants that rob you of the power of God. In the Valley of Elah, a nation and a group of people that once knew victory are now cowered down in fear. And David, the little shepherd boy, shows up and he looks around and he says, "What is the matter with you people? Y'all gonna let that old Philistine mock and curse our God? Is there not a cause? Why are we letting this old reprobate curse our God?" They said, "Don't you know that's Goliath, the great champion out of Gath?" Thank God for a little old boy who said, Joshua may not have dealt with it, and Saul may not have enough power and touch of God and cowered down in a corner somewhere. And he said, "I'll go out there in the name of the Lord and I'll whoop Goliath." But my friend, the fact of the matter is, until David showed up, there was an effect of the power of God upon Israel. The little things you leave undone, listen to me, will eventually produce a giant that comes against you and robs you of the victories that you once had. Number three, only in Gaza and in Gath and where? Ashdod. In 1 Samuel 5, there's an interesting story of Israel, and you know the condition that Israel has gotten in. The spiritual leadership of Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas are very wicked individuals. And the Philistines come and they set themselves in a battle, in array against Israel. And what do? They say, "Hey, somebody go grab the ark. Get the ark. We're going out here and we're going to whoop." That ark represented the presence of God in the life of Israel. They said, "We're just going to reach out here. We'll pull God out, amen, in this box. We'll go pull Him out here on the battlefield and we'll go whoop the Philistines." But God said, "I ain't a touching. I'm not showing up and I'm not fighting like I used to fight. It's too much sin." And in that battle, watch this now, Israel fell and was defeated. And not only were they defeated, but they took the ark of God, the type of the presence of God, Brother Mike. And the Bible said they took it down to a little place called Ashdod. Well, you're saying, "Brother Jeff, I'm saying the little things you won't deal with tonight are going to affect the presence of God in your life." So, I'm winning victories. I'm seeing great things done. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I bless the Lord that you are. I can't tell you how excited I am for some of y'all and the testimonies you give and how that God's moving and you're winning victories. Hallelujah. But them little things that God dealt with you about back a week and a half ago in revival that you said, "I'm not going to deal with that." Them little things 10 and 15 years ago that Doc Wells was dealing with that you said, "I'm not going that far." Them little things you've left undone eventually are going to rob you of the presence of God that you used to enjoy. I hope I've made sense tonight. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't adultery. I know we got to deal with adultery and sometimes we got to deal with unholy living in our churches. But for the most part, we don't. Every now and then somebody will fall and get into it and we got to deal with it. But it ain't that. For most of us, it ain't adultery, and it ain't drunkenness, and it ain't dance halls, and it ain't rock music, and it ain't even country music for most of us, if you're right with God. Most of us have done won a lot of victories over the flesh and over the world. Amen. A lot of us have won victories over how we dress and how we act and where we go and where we won't go. But what about the little things? I'm talking about them things that the preacher preaches and you sit there and you wouldn't dare say it out loud, but in your heart you say, it's only pants. It's only country music. It's only bitterness. It's only my little thing. It's only what ain't nobody else know. It's only is a little thing. Gonna be left undone. And eventually your perception, the power of God, the presence of the Lord is gonna be affected on your life. But Jared, we can't afford in these last days to leave little things left undone. God's been too good, Brother Will. He's been too good. He's been too good. It's time to deal with the little things. It's time to nail the little things down. Amen. I promise you, if you don't deal with the little things tonight and you leave them undone this time next year, there's going to be people that ain't sitting here that ought to be sitting here, but they didn't deal with the little things. It ain't the big things going to get you out. It's them little things. It's that little bit of pride you got in your heart that thinks everybody ought to listen to you. Amen. It's that little bit of preeminent attitude that said everybody's going to hear what I think. It ain't a big thing yet, but it's going to be a big thing. You leave it undone, I promise you. Brother Gerald, if there's any little thing God's pointed out and brought you to deal with, God expects for you and I to stomp it, burn it, deal with it, get victory, because little things left undone bring great destruction down the road. Sister Candy, if you will, come on the piano. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it's been a good spirit of praise and worship in the singing, and Lord, quite a different atmosphere, Lord, in the preaching. You've kind of settled us down, and Lord, you've been speaking. Father, I pray, would you please help us tonight? Lord, I need help. Lord, as the pastor of this church, I don't want to leave little things left undone. Lord, I don't want to be guilty, Lord, of dealing with the big areas, the big things, and then, Lord, letting slide other areas that you've pointed out and brought us to. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Help us, Lord, just to deal with everything. Lord, we don't want to lose our perception. We don't want to lose the power of God. We don't want to lose the presence of the Lord. So God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name.